Happy Friday. I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Did you see Congress pass that $1.9 trillion stimulus aid bill? Stephen Colbert said something historic happened on Capitol Hill, and it wasn't punching a cop and pooping on the rug. It's a pretty low bar. Colbert again. With this passage, the government is about to send $1,400 stimulus checks to millions of Americans. There you go, baby. You're rich. Buy yourself something nice like rent or medicine. James Corden said, huge news. With $1,400 a year into the pandemic, you can finally pay May 2020's rent. Colbert, the $1.9 trillion price tag brings the total spent on COVID relief to $5.5 trillion by comparison adjusted for inflation. World War II cost the U.S. government roughly $4 trillion. Hopefully, we'll get some great coronavirus movies like Inoculating Private Ryan, not bad, or one about your uncle who still wears his mask below his nose. That's called Dunkirk. Colbert, the administration says a large number of Americans could receive their $1,400 stimulus payments before the end of March. You know what that means? There's finally going to be an end of March. Corden, the money will be going out soon. And really, what's more reassuring than the phrase, don't worry, the check's in the mail. Fallon, most Americans are thrilled the bill passed. In fact, President Biden is so amped he just bit his dog. Fallon, $1.9 trillion. That's like a dollar for every email you got this year that started with in these challenging times. Colbert, Biden might not need to work too hard to sell a stimulus plan because according to polls, 75% of voters said they support the package, and Biden's approval rating since he took office is steady at 57%. Old steady Joe. He may not be as exciting as the last guy we were with, but you know, he's good with kids and that he cares whether they live in poverty. From Deadline, Comedy Central is doing a special event. It is called Top 100 Roast Moments. It's actually called Hall of Fame : Top 100 Roast Moments. This is a countdown featuring the roast's best burns. The week-long event will revisit the most scorching quips given to past roastees, including Alec Baldwin, Justin Bieber, James Franco, Bruce Willis, and Rob Lowe. Wasn't there some other guy he hosted The Apprentice? Didn't they roast him? Did I imagine that? Yeah, Comedy Central roast of guy that used to host The Apprentice. It aired in 2011. I wonder why that's not part of this press release. Maybe it wasn't one of the top 100 roast moments. You'd think they'd include it. Suspicious. I may have to get the Daily Comedy News investigative eye team into that. Anyway, this thing starts March 29th at 10 p.m. for some reason. It'll run until April 2nd. It'll feature commentary from comedians, actors, commentators, and pop culture historians. What is that? Who's a pop culture historian? What does that mean? Set to give their two cents on blazing moments of the Comedy Central tradition are Carly Aquilino, Joelkin Booster, Guy Brena, Matthew Broussard, who's hilarious, Food God, James Davis, Bob the Drag Queen, Daniel Francais, Josh Johnson, Luenell, Heather McDonald. Additional names joining the Hall of Fame Top 100 Roast Moments are Sam Morril, Mark Normand, Diallo Riddle, Yamanika Saunders, Brendan Schaub, Dulce Sloan, Jesus Trejo, and Roy Wood Jr. Are you looking forward to it? Not really. No, we're not. Sorry, Comedy Central. We're not looking forward to it. From the Laugh Button, Jermaine Fowler says Tracy Morgan is doing a Louis Armstrong biopic. And now that you think about it, yeah, right? Yeah. Tracy Morgan is Louis Armstrong? Yeah. Fowler says, I would love to see Tracy do something dramatic. In fact, he showed us a clip of a movie he's financing that's really, really dope. He wants to play Louis Armstrong in a biopic, and I believe he can do it. He sounds exactly like him and looks exactly like him, and I was blown away by it. If he can truly pull that off, I think it'll put Tracy on another level altogether. Please make that later today. That sounds amazing. Cultured Magazine spoke to the always serious Hari Kondabolu, and I realize I always describe Hari that way, but he is always serious. Like, every interview with him is so effing serious. And this is another one. Cultured Magazine said, your comedy tends to have an intellectual bent. Maybe you're going to get a bit ruffled, but do you consider yourself an educator? The ever so serious Hari Kondabolu said, you know, it's really tricky. When I started to want to talk about things with meaning, it was probably after 9/11. So when I was 19, 20, 21, all of a sudden I'm questioning what I'm doing. And certainly the choice to talk about certain things at that time was deliberate. There was an educational aspect, but I hadn't quite figured it out yet, how to write jokes about the stuff I was passionate about. I knew how to mention it or rant. When I moved to Seattle in 2005, I was doing comedy at night and working on immigrant rights, organizing during the day. I definitely had the ability to express my politics through words. I think when I got there, I started to figure out how I could also do this humor, how I could make jokes with hard materials. There were moments when I was didactic and even condescending, and that didn't help. I had to actively teach myself that my job was to make people laugh. That's the difference between a guy ranting on stage and a com. Of course, some people laugh at the face value, which is always a risk when you're using satire. Cultured Mag said, that reminds me of the reason Chappelle left his show, because he started to feel like he was getting the wrong kinds of laughs. The ever so serious Hari Kondabolu said, exactly. What you need is enough information. You need to educate them enough, and not for the purpose of their future or the conversation they're going to have after the show, but enough to understand the punchline, because the subject matter is stuff I want to talk about. I want to talk about John Brown, not because I want to teach people about John Brown, but because he's fascinating. That's what I had to come to terms with. I'm not up there to educate. I'm up there to be the truest version of me, and the truest version of me is interested in all these things that I need to explain to people so that we're on the same page. When I have audiences I don't need to explain as much to, it's more fun. I can get to level two. The Apu documentary, called The Problem with Apu, was a level one documentary. No South Asian said, thank you, I learned so much. They said, thank you for putting that out there. The documentary is more educational, and it's built to be like that. With stand-up, I want to see that as art. From bloodydisgusting.com, your home for comedy news, Bruce Campbell is going to be part of the single-camera sitcom pilot Adopted, written and produced by Jimmy Kimmel for ABC. Adopted is inspired by a true story. In it, a Green Beret, not played by Bruce Campbell, returns home to Texas from military service. He and his family struggle with the challenges of adopting his new brother, a 12-year-old Russian boy, also not played by Bruce Campbell. So who does Bruce Campbell play? Campbell plays Sean's dad, John Voss, a goofy, optimistic, carefree, and conservative dad. John Voss is a red-blooded, all-American business owner who hates negative thoughts, so he doesn't have them. He's as out of touch as he is unaware, but he makes up for it with his jolly nature. His greatest fear is interpersonal conflict, and now that the house is full of kids, conflict is inevitable, as is cancellation. Although maybe Jimmy Kimmel's got enough weight at ABC for this thing to hang around for a season or two, but that sounds terrible. I met Bruce Campbell once. We were at Comic-Con. Now, I'm really confused for, say, Brad Pitt, but I'm also not like a complete troll. I'm not like the worst looking person in the world. You know, I'm average. Anyway, I took a picture with Bruce Campbell. He's a handsome man. You know, every now and then I'd meet a celebrity and I'd take a picture with them and I would look at them and I would look at me and be like, oh my God, don't take a picture with Bruce Campbell unless you're really, really, really handsome, because he will make you look like a troll. Really cool guy, but man, he's handsome. I've told you guys that I like to run, and I humble brag about that time I ran the New York City Marathon, right? Yes, I do like to humble brag about that. You run it. I tried to run this morning. I went about 40 seconds. I'm like, eh, this is sore. So I jumped on the bike, did a nice 45-minute spin with Kim. She was great. And then I felt loose. I jumped on the treadmill again. I'm still sore, so I just kind of shut it down. Over the years, doing all the marathon training, humble brag, did I mention that I ran the marathon once? I have learned the importance of good footwear. Like, you gotta have good shoes. You will get into all kinds of problems if you try running on crappy shoes or worn out shoes. And you'll go through them too. You don't think about it, but you get a couple hundred miles on them. Even if you run 3 miles a day times 30 after like 3-4 months, you're like 200 miles into these sneakers. You got to get a new pair. And then what do you do with the old pair? Some of my old pairs I use as my beach shoes. I've got the pair that I paint in. And then, you know, the rest of them just sit under the bed going nowhere. Well, Thousand Fell has created the world's first 100% recyclable, they call it full circle footwear. These are cool. I was on the website today. Their sneakers are designed from innovative, leatherless materials, and they're backed by their brand-owned recycling program. That guarantees the sneakers don't end up in a landfill. Nice job, Thousand Fell. And not only do the sneakers do good, they look good, they feel good, they're built to last. Vogue said, these sneakers bring both a cool factor and practicality. I was on the website, I was checking out this nice white pair. There's a touch of blue back by the heel, looks pretty snazzy. I also kind of want the Friend of the Future hoodie. It's a really nice looking hoodie. But let's talk sneakers. 100% leatherless, 100% recyclable, 100% vegan, certified by PETA, zero waste, stain and water resistant, odor repellent, my wife's going to love that. Blister proof, high five on that. Did I mention that I ran the marathon once? Yeah, you get blisters. Versatile designs. Be the first to get Thousand Fell's latest color drop collection. It's coming soon, so bang the website. New customers can receive 10% off their first purchase. So when you go there and you're checking out, they're going to give you a post-purchase survey. Make sure you told them Daily Comedy News sent you so I get credit for this thing. And I was checking out the recycling program too. I am like Mr. Environment. I'll talk your ear off about that some other time. But the recycling, you download a free shipping label. They cover the cost of the shipping. You just have to download it and print it. You drop it off. You send the sneakers, your old sneakers, back to Thousand Fells Recycling Facility in New Jersey. I should go visit it. That's where I live. And then you receive $20 recycling cash back in your account towards a new pair. So they're cool shoes and its pro-environment. ThousandFeld.com, they sponsor today's Daily Comedy News. Again, when you check out, tell them Daily Comedy News sent you. All right, I have some things for you to check out. First, let me talk about this rabbit hole I went down on YouTube last night. I was just kind of bouncing around, and they put this in front of me. It's labeled something like Bob Hope Letterman Aftermath 1989. So what this was, and boy, I love Letterman, 1980s Letterman. The CBS show was okay at first, and over time it became establishment, and I really don't have any interest in what Dave's doing on Netflix, but 1980s, 12:30 Letterman, Late Night with David Letterman, so good. So he used to go across the hall to this other show. It was called Live at 5. It was a news show. Letterman taped at 5:30, so Live at 5 p.m. would be taping across the hall, and Letterman would crash their set. So by 1989, he was banned from doing that, but his guest is Bob Hope. So he's got Bob Hope, who's 86 and still kind of sharp in this. And I'm a big Bob Hope fan. And Letterman asked Bob Hope, hey, let's go across the hall and crash the show. You're Bob Hope. They're going to let you in. They go. There's like an NBC page, you know, that kind of like stupid security guard that like can't think through a situation. He's like, you can't come in here. Letterman's like, this is Bob Hope. And they're not going to let Bob Hope in. Letterman and Bob Hope keep walking. They get to the door. It's locked. Spoiler, you had 30 years. Letterman asked Bob Hope, you must have a key, right? Because Bob Hope was Mr. NBC. That's why it's pretty funny. Really good sketch. Then they come back. I guess there's an edit in the YouTube video. Bob Hope is gone. And then Letterman just starts doing a bit with Paul Schaefer about like he just needs to get away from it all. He can't take it anymore. And Dave goes on vacation and Paul says he'll take care of the show. So we see Dave and it's very like 12:30 NBC. Let's kill time. You see Dave on a plane. Dave walks in the hotel. He checks in. He's in his bed in the new hotel room. The phone rings. It's Paul Schaefer going, what's that thing you say when you go to break? What is it? And Letterman's like, we'll be right back. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Dave. And it's just the whole thing is hilarious. I don't even know if I did it justice there, but I love 12:30 Letterman. So first thing I'm going to recommend to you is Bob Hope Letterman Aftermath 1989 on the YouTube. Then I want you to check out a podcast. It's called Cold Case Crime Cuts. And what that one does is it takes mysteries from songs and then it handles it like one of those true crime podcasts. For example, there's an episode about I Shot the Sheriff, who tries to figure out who shot the sheriff. The one I listened to was about the song Copacabana, and Cold Case Crime Cuts tries to solve the mystery of who shot who. It's very funny, and it plays with all the tropes of those stupid true crime podcasts, including repeating the same thing over and over, and phone calls. It's hilarious. Highly recommended, Cold Case Crime Cuts. I also checked out Mark Maron had Eddie Murphy on. At first, I was like, oh, the audio here sucks. I wish this was better. I almost bailed. I'm glad I stayed with it. The interview is fantastic. Again, I wish the audio were better, but Mark Maron, Eddie Murphy, check that out. And of course, Palace Intrigue, I write for that podcast. It's like this minus comedy plus royal family, and we have had a great week over there. Thank you, Meghan Markle. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. And I'm going to leave you today with this story from Vulture. It's not really comedy, but it made me laugh, so I'm going to read it to you. Meghan Markle used power drills to make froyo at Humphrey Yogurt. That's awesome. Oprah Winfrey's Sunday night interview with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle was full of heavy, sad revelations, but there was one moment of levity when Meghan Markle described working at an L.A. frozen yogurt shop called Humphrey Yogurt as a teen. Vulture spoke to Greg Rogers. He's the frozen yogurt shop's publicist and a former employee himself. He answered every question. Some of those questions. Have you seen a boost in business since the Meghan interview? Greg Rogers said, oh, definitely, since Monday morning when there were people waiting for us to open. And has it been a different sort of crowd than the usual clientele? Greg Rogers said. It's been kind of a mix. It's been a lot of people who didn't realize there was still a Humphrey Yogurt that were all customers from the other stores. And then there were a few looky-loos and people just wanted to take a picture of the sign. So there were people who had known about the existence of Humphrey Yogurt and then forgotten about it. And Meghan's interview reminded them. Oh, yeah. Back in the 90s, it was one of those places that was like lines out the door. My first job in L.A. when I moved here in 1990 was at Humphrey Yogurt. I was a manager at Brentwood. My first day on the job, they taught me how to do the yogurt thing because you scoop the yogurt in this big cone and you add a bit drills and the ingredients. And they said, you do the next customer. And I turned around and there was O.J. and Nicole Brown Simpson. What? Vulture said, that's the most L.A. in the 90s things I've ever heard. You mean to tell me Meghan Markle operated a power drill to make frozen yogurt? Greg said, you had to drill whatever you wanted, strawberries, bananas, whatever. You'd put in a cone underneath this giant drill and you would drill them into the yogurt. It was a very physical job to scoop the frozen yogurt and drill that thing down. If there were big strawberries and things like that, it wasn't easy. Since the interview came out, has Humphrey Yogart received any weird messages or requests? Someone wanted to know if we did pies because they wanted to send one to Piers Morgan. And I've had people call from the Daily Mirror and the BBC. Vulture said there have been rumors of a possible Meghan Markle flavor. Is that happening? The answer. We batted around the idea. We did a little research. And in a magazine, she talked about how she makes a really good banana chocolate chip bread. And Prince Harry likes peanut butter and jelly. So if we did a flavor, it would be something like banana royale with peanut butter, banana and chocolate chips. But we didn't make it official because once we heard the interview and the seriousness of what was going on, we thought it'd be kind of cheesy to do that. But a lot of people have taken off with it. So people are coming in and ordering banana, peanut butter, chocolate combo. But we didn't put it on the menu board. We didn't name it after her. It's a secret menu item. You got to go to Humphrey Yogart. Is there a statement or anything from the owners about Meghan? It was 1994 when she worked there. They had 6 locations and 80 employees. The owner, Paula, didn't remember any incident or anything like that. She didn't get in any kind of trouble. One guy asked us, wait for it, what can we find out about Meghan? What can you tell us about while she was there? The answer, the only scoop you're going to get is non-fat or low-fat yogurt. That is your comedy news for today. Yes, you know you love it. You should buy me a coffee or a frozen yogurt. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You're glad I did the yogurt story. Come on, admit it. Instagram at Daily Comedy News. It's Ricky Gervais versus John Mulaney. You should vote. I'm out. See you tomorrow. Normal episodes all weekend.